Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Chuck Miner, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show on a beautiful Friday as the summer comes to a close, at least officially.
Well, you can see through the smoke.
Once you can see the smoke.
It was funny. I had to drive downtown today, and you could barely see downtown from Westminster.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, the show brought to you in part by ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice, one of the websites we check every day. Today on the show, as always, a weekly minority report with Representative Patrick Neville. And also going to be have the A-Man, grassroots Republican strategist George Anthonisopoulos. And I got, I don't know if Chris Doty is listening or not, but he sent me a very passionate text. I'm sort of outlining some calls to action. I want to, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Basically, he's saying, you know, look, this is, you know, guerrilla warfare, and Republicans in Colorado are behind the eight ball when it comes to Democrats with the Colorado
model. They're
kind of
in front of the can, really. I mean, well, the can is pointing at them.
Not the eight ball.
But one of those who's fighting the great fight is Patrick Neville, and got him on line three. Patrick, great to talk to you again.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're pretty good.
Well, it came out this week that our prior chairman, I think for 8 years, Ryan Call, has decided to that he's backing Biden.
And your friend and ours, Cole Wist, too.
Cole Wist, your assistant, your number two, the guy who helped you out so much fighting off the, red flag on betraying you and stabbing you in the back, has also announced that he's voting for Joe Biden and supporting Joe Biden. I mean, it does not say
something. They still haven't removed that knife yet. I think the doctors told me I had to leave it in there. No, just to remember.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how does the Republican Party get a chairman for 8 years that is so far left that he thinks Joe Biden...
I mean, it's not like Barack Obama. It's not like even Bill Clinton or, you know, Jimmy Carter. No, it's you don't get much more progressive than what the Democrat Party is. What... It's a good question. What's going on there?
Keep in mind, these are the same, like, you know, morons that accuse me and other conservatives of being not good Republicans. And, you know, you know, we're just too conservative, and we add to the party infighting. And so we need to go, we need to get, you know, excommunicated from the party. But then they turn around and they're, you know, all the same people that supported Ryan Call for chair. You know, and then people that accused us of not doing enough to help out Cole Wist in his reelection are the same people that, you know, they defended them. They're the same people that are saying, oh, Patrick Neville, he's too conservative.
Well, you are. Patrick.
Someone who's like, you know, just milquetoast and moderate. And, you know, it's quite frankly the same people that are going after Ken Buck right now.
Right.
Well, yeah, Lois Landgraf. I know she's one of your members, so you can't say anything negative about her. But you just go down the list of friends.
Who are these people attacking Ken Buck, right?
And all the El Paso County people who are out of power. And of course, no attack can be more bigoted than those guys, and they're happy to do it. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's like that idiot guy who, if I forget his name, he's attacking Casper Stockham, the congressional candidate.
Gary Kirkland.
It's like, so here's the thing, Patrick.
To what end? It's like
exactly
this crazy vendetta. Same thing with Eli Bremmer and now Wayne Williams too with what he's doing to Ken Buck. Look, I didn't. You guys know this. I supported Susan Beckman in the chairs race, but I've been really impressed with the job Ken Buck has been doing.
Yes.
And these guys just, you know, every minute they can, they're out there writing a new op-ed attacking Ken Buck out there when we're in the middle of an election right now. Ballots are about to drop.
Or they're giving their, you know, this week.
And these guys are out there still attacking Ken Buck. It's ridiculous.
And you know, they're giving awards. The left wing is giving awards. The Sam Mamet Award to Colorado Springs mayor. I mean, once you get the Sam Mamet Award, and I knew Sam and like Sam, but he's a lefty, and the award is from Colorado Municipal League. It's all lefty. So when Southers gets it, it tells you that he's in the same category, as Ryan Call. And
well,
Cole
like you
West.
Said, it's like in order to be a good Republican, according to these guys, you got to vote for Biden. It's
you
like the most progressive Democrat in history.
You got to be a good Republican these days. You need to be a Democrat.
Well, Patrick, let me raise a conspiracy theory because I was wondering, thinking about this, I'm like, why? Why are they doing this? And this is what I wonder. We've had, and we've talked a little bit about this, Ted Trimpo was telling us, the Democrat strategist, that one of the things they realize now is that they always have realized, but there's some seats in Colorado and areas in Colorado that are safe Republicans. So rather than try to beat a Republican, what they're now doing is pouring money into fake Republicans, right? The Catherine Murdoch.
Up in Weld County and right. Southern Jeffco.
They're paying, so
and successfully, I might say.
Successfully. So I'm wondering, are these fake Republicans solely doing this in order to get money?
Well, let's be honest about this. If we want to actually look at the numbers, in the just House primaries recently, they spent about $1.8 million. That's more than has ever been spent on the Republican side on any election, and they spent it in the primaries. So right. I think you're onto something there. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just fact.
Right.
They are spending huge chunks of money in Republican primaries trying to get their chosen candidates elected because they know they can't actually win that seat. So it's not, I mean, I think the most that's ever been spent even in a general election on the Republican side, somewhere around $1.2 million. So it's fact. It's not conspiracy theory. It's they're trying to, play in Republican primaries in a big way.
Right.
Democratic money,
Right, Democrat money. Keep that in mind. This is Democrat money going to fake Republicans. And that's what I was thinking. So it's like, why am I, if I'm Ryan Call and I'm a Republican consultant, am I endorsing Joe Biden? Well, I want some of that Democrat money. I mean, to me, it just seems.
Well,
same.
No, they're better off. These don't beyond that. Yeah. These are, and the Republican consultants, maybe the worst group in America.
Holman wasn't, I think he was like one of the main consultants for Mitt Romney too, so there's probably something to say about that as well.
Yeah,
right.
Main anti-Trumper, and it's just funny, but all of this, again, I make that same tie back to all these same people that are now attacking Ken Buck.
Right.
Again, I wasn't Ken Buck's biggest cheerleader. I actually nominated Susan Beckman, but I think Ken Buck's done a heck of a job, and it's just amazing because here Ken, the executive committee tries to correct something that was absolutely horrendous that happened in the El Paso County House race.
Right.
And they sue Ken Buck.
Right.
And they
right.
actually win. And they say he overstepped his bounds. He, the state central committee shouldn't have done anything. And then recently the state central committee says, no, El Paso, you've got to deal with your own problems. Call the El Paso County Central Committee meeting. And call the central committee meeting to solve these problems. And then, the outrage, Ken Buck.
Oh, I know. Well, here's one thing, at least.
What is it?
And, I think we would all keel over of a heart attack if Ken Buck came out tomorrow and said, oh, by the way, I'm voting for Biden, right? At least agree with him or disagree with him about some things. You're pretty sure he's not going to actually endorse Biden.
Would it surprise you that Phil Anschutz would endorse Biden? That would not surprise me. But, It's the Republican Party, I've always said, it's got the worst set of billionaires because they're really Democrats. I mean, you can just read the Denver Gazette and Colorado Politics, and it takes you about a minute and a half to figure this is
left-wing. Well, they're taking Associated Press stories.
Yeah, taking AP stories, which are left-wing. They're getting Denver Post ones, and every once in a while they do a nice story on some rhino like Bob Beaupre. I mean, it's.
Or they print Gary Kirkland's attacks on Casper Stockham.
Yeah, I mean, it must be frustrating. If it's a frustrating for me,
Patrick,
it must be.
Do you just like drink whiskey and Pepto Bismol for every day? I mean, maybe I didn't mean to imply that, but you know what I mean. It's how do you deal with all of this?
I've got a great wife who puts up with me, and then wonderful kids who cheer me up. That's really the only way to do it.
Well, here, and Sandra's texting, what? Cole Wist is endorsing Biden? That's right, everybody. You heard us correctly. Cole Wist, Republican.
Your favorite Republican. The nice moderate that you...
Patrick Neville is too conservative. He's not endorsing. Well, Patrick, let me ask you this. Like I said, I got this very kind of an impassioned text from Chris Doty, who has been pretty active in some of the protests and, things going on, the Republican protests, saying, the Democrats are conducting guerrilla warfare. We need to also.
Sure.
And I told him Chuck's favorite line, we need better billionaires. But let me ask you this. I mean, Donald Trump raised over $5 million in Colorado. This is the last reported section. That's got to come from small donors. I mean,
We haven't looked it up, which I promise I'll try to look it up by then. But do you know who this $5.2 million?
Well, it's probably not Anschutz.
No, it is not Anschutz. So do you know who contributed that $5.2 million?
I don't know.
Here's my point, though.
We should find out.
The point is that there are people out there. Yeah, there are Republicans.
It isn't going to be Paul Singer. It's not going to be Phil Anschutz. It's not going to be our billionaire class. So are there really conservative millionaires? I mean, do we have enough small donors?
Do we have
enough plumbers that are Republicans or something? I mean, if somebody gave you $5.2 million,
what I've been trying to cultivate.
Yeah.
With Take Back Colorado, and that's what I've been trying to do is exactly that. Try to actually be a part of the grassroots and actually pay attention to the grassroots. I mean, it seems for so long, it's like the Republican Party's been, well, no, we got to, kowtow to the billionaires who might give, 10,000 here,
right,
and 20,000 there, but then they totally left out the grassroots, where if the grassroots, they might, if 10,000 people can give $5 a month,
right,
that's a big deal. But we've been trying to ignore them for too long, and I'm done with it. I'm like, for me, I'm not longer. We made that switch probably about a year and a half ago, and I'm going to continue to try to work on that because the grassroots is the party, and we can't ignore them.
No. Particularly with the Democrats pouring money in, so the rhinos are not even paying attention to us. Well, let me ask you this then. So when you guys, do the strategy meetings and things like that, I mean, I'm hoping you don't just sit around and say, hey, we're screwed. I mean, but so
I would.
Yeah, so that's why Chuck is not on a strategy committee.
We're screwed.
Where do you see, let me put it this way, I'm the optimist, where do you see opportunities and potential? Shut up, Chuck. Just make it up if you have to.
Got in tune with the grassroots. And that's something Trump has actually been able to do. It's amazing. You actually have a billionaire who ran for president, and this billionaire has been able to, connect with the grassroots in middle America. And that's what we actually have to do as a Republican Party, do the same thing. We can't just keep going, oh, so-and-so may not like this, and so-and-so big donor wants to do this, so we've got to, abandon our total principles and walk the line, or oh gosh, Kyle Clark might write a bad story about it.
Oh, not Kyle Clark. No.
Not even watches him anymore.
We can't do that stuff any longer. We got to be ourselves and actually connect with the grassroots, our actual voters.
Right.
We can't ignore them any longer.
What about this too? Again, Chris Doty, and I think there's some truth to this. He says, the Democrats play, years and years ahead of time. And I think in a way, Governor Polis, he's got us locked down. He's got us wearing masks. He's got us fighting for our businesses, where if you're a Democrat, you're probably a union person. You're a government employee. You're a teacher. You've been collecting your paycheck all along.
Government union, make the difference.
Right. Yeah. Government union. Yes, exactly. You've been collecting, well, teachers union, you've been collecting your paycheck. Okay. And so you're not really worried. The lockdown hasn't bothered you. And if you got to wear a mask every so often and, order through Grubhub, you can suffer through that. But it's the Republicans and the independents, I think, for the most part, who have had their businesses, their livelihoods hit. And so Christodi is suggesting that's all part of the strategy, right? That the Democrats want us worried about basic survival needs, so we're not focused ahead of time. I mean, and I think there's some truth to that. What do you think?
Yeah, there definitely is. And same thing, every election cycle, they play the blame game. After 2018, we had some canvassers that tried to basically double the price of per household hit on our contract, and we said no. We're not going to play that game. And then guess what happened? Frank McNulty, with the help of Marianne Greer, comes out and writes like several different hit pieces, attacking us for that. But again, we were saying, okay, it's not looking great to get a majority this year. So let's focus on 2 years from now instead. And instead of paying, canvassers, $10-$20 a household, we're not going to do that. We're going to save that money and try to spend it this year. And I'm glad we did.
Yeah.
Because had we not done that, we probably don't have a lot of money for a lot of different candidates now, because the business community and the same big donors, they like to give to whoever the majority party is. And after we lost the Senate in Colorado, the money is really dried up on the Republican side, because we don't have any statewide elected official other than Cory Gardner. We don't have the House or the Senate.
Heidi Goodall. Always forget the moderate Heidi Goodall.
She better not endorse Biden.
She might.
No, she won't.
All right. the CU region. So much influence in the state, you know. It's one of those things, but that's what the business community is doing. And it's so funny because those same reporters like Marianne Goodland who do work for Phil Anschutz. I mean, this is crazy. It's like, why does Phil keep employing her when, you know, she'll write these total hit pieces against guys like me and come after us like crazy, but then doesn't actually talk about the true scandals that go on where the Democrats will truly sit in these meetings. Their committee chairs will say, I'm not running this bill for you until you give us this amount. And they will basically demand money for the policies that they push forward. And it's common knowledge. The lobby corps talks about it all the time.
Well, they're not even being subtle about it then, right? You're saying they're just like, okay, I'll run this bill if you give me money. And isn't it called like extortion? I mean...
Politics, I think.
Yeah, it's called politics.
Well, let me go to another one of my favorite subjects, which is why the Republican Party is missing out on a huge part of a potential coalition, and that's males 18 to 34. Today's Democratic Party is very unfriendly to males. I don't care what creed, race, or anything else. And I've been kind of saying, you know, we've got to find males 18 to 34 who haven't been voting, find out where their politics are, and assuming the Republican get them out. Well, Alex Perez wrote this one in Daily Caller, a multicultural male coalition that could give Trump 4 more years. And he said he was shocked. He's from Miami. He'd run all these conversations with these early 20-year-old guys talking about politics. And he said, I'd never heard that before. The older, you know, would, but not the younger ones. And he says, it's incredible how often he runs into males in the Miami area, the minority area, who are pro-Trump. And you know, that's true here in Colorado. I promise you, if you actually got the males out between 18, if you identify, I mean, hard to find them. I've got them on, you know, for this precinct, and there's, you know, 40 or 50 of them, almost never vote, and we don't have any information on them. But if we ever did get any information, a large majority of those people would be Trump supporters. I think
there are opportunities out there.
It's a huge opportunity. I mean, there's no reason to be a male, be a 20-year-old male and go, oh yeah, I love the woke music. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm a pig. As he said, all these guys go, well, when did you become anathema to be a regular guy? And that's what the Democratic Party represents. So, I mean, you know, basketball leagues, strip clubs, wherever you want to find young males. Well, no, we can't go there. We couldn't go to a restaurant.
Oh, look what happened to you when you had, you know, you.
Oh, you went to a gun shop. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that is a great voter block that we need to tap into, but there's others too. I mean, I do think there's something to say about a silent majority, and that's why I think the Democrats are doing their best to try to play in Republican primaries here in Colorado to suppress the minority party from actually talking and speaking in a strong way that encourages other people to speak up. Because they know if they can totally silence and muzzle people like me, well, then there is really no voice for Trump and voice for that silent majority out there. And if there's no voice for them out there, they're going to probably just stay home and not vote. And that's unfortunate, but that's part of the plan.
No, it is definitely part of the plan. I mean, they talk about that, right? It's you know, Ted Tripp is very open about that. That's one of the reasons they're playing, right? They are... You know, what did Catherine Murdoch invest
in? Polis does this too. I mean, Polis will say this. Like during when there was the effort to recall him like a year ago or whatever it was, which I actually didn't even play. And he cut us off from all conference calls. So we never no longer had our meetings because he was bitter about it. He somehow thought that I was behind it. And he, you know, was somehow so concerned that this might actually happen. Same thing happened with Leroy Garcia, another one I didn't play in. We played in, you know, like Tom Sullivan's another one like that we were trying to actually recall, but not every single one. But they do that. That's exactly what they do. And then there's other Republicans that come out there that say, oh, my gosh, we can't make the governor mad. Why are you suing Governor Patrick? If you make the governor mad, he won't sign my bill. If he's signing your bill, it's probably worthless anyway. Why do you care about that? And why do you kowtow to that?
Right. Well, why are you making the governor mad?
Like, he's locked. Soul for a governor's pen. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
He's locked us down. He's making us wear masks again.
For a governor's pen, so that they can go back to their district and go, I passed 20 bills. Well, your 20 bills didn't do a damn thing.
Right.
Well, it hurt us all.
Right.
Destroyed the.
Well, do you think, like you said, Trump has sort of energized the grassroots, right? Do you see that? I mean, to me, I think that, you know, I just talked to neighbors and things like that, right? And people who before didn't talk about Trump now talk about Trump. 4 years ago, it would have been hard to see a Trump sign, but we had a neighbor, I think the HOA made him take it down, but they had Trump signs. We'll put one up.
There's a person in Michigan during the town hall that Biden had saying, you know, I've got my Biden sign, but I look out the window and all I see are Trump signs everywhere. And I think that's a feeling everybody's got necessarily in Colorado. But if you look at the ground, you know, Trump's going to enthusiastic crowds of thousands and Biden can't get five people to sit in a circle chair. And you'd feel that Trump's going to win easily. And then, of course, you look at the polls, he's going to lose easily. So which of those two realities is the real reality? I guess we'll find out, although we've got a couple adverse decisions out of Democratic judges in Michigan and Pennsylvania say they can do all the ballot harvest.
That's a whole other show. We'll talk to Georgia about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Do you see?
I'm happy to hop on another day early next week to talk about voter fraud because I do think it is very, very apparent. So.
Yeah. Oh, I know. This is my thing. Let's just touch on that a little bit. And I know then we got to let you go pretty quick here. This is my fear. And I used to think maybe I'm just crazy. But again, I was talking. Well, I'm crazy, but I'm right. No, and I was talking, walking dog, right, with my neighbor who said, you know, Julie, I'm really worried. And I said, I'm really worried too. And she said, I am really worried that Trump is going to win and the Democrats are going to refuse to let him assume the presidency. They're just gonna cheat and have. Now we've got these rulings that ballots can come in until they get enough to elect Biden. I mean, right. I used to think, no, Julie, that could never happen. But I don't think that's the case anymore. I think that is a key part. They're not gonna fool around with impeaching him or, you know, another Russia investigation. They're just gonna flat out cheat or steal it. I worry about.
Well, we're seeing that. I mean, that's what's kind of we're seeing. Some of the Colorado's got. Our system is safer than most, so they're just trying to stand up mail ballots there, but we still have some definite gaps in ours. And then there's other stuff coming out, too, that's just in Colorado examples I see. But, again, it's probably something we need to talk about later next week or early next week.
I'll text you. We'll do it.
It's a major concern of mine.
Let me ask you a happy question then.
Happy question.
Roller, just anything else you want people to know about?
Any
news is up to speed on.
Well, you know, happy news. Hey, there is one person at least out there in the Republican Party who's actually trying to pay attention to the grassroots. And that's what we started up, Take Back Colorado. So if you go to takebackco.org, sign up there and you can, you know, get a part of, you know, get all the updates and we'll give you all the good news that we're doing and things like the lawsuit moving forward. I think that's, everyone's been served now. And so we've got the lawsuit on the mask mandate and other executive orders that the AG has until, I think, October 9th to respond to. But we're getting some good news out of Pennsylvania, too. There was a good judge out there that actually ruled with the Pennsylvania folks out there saying that the governor's executive orders were unconstitutional. So we're seeing some bright spots out there. And, you know, quite frankly, we just got to keep fighting.
Yeah, agreed. That's true. All right. I'll get hold of you for next week. Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk to you early in the week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you there. Representative Patrick Neville.
There
are some bright spots. I mean, Hickenlooper, the gap seems to be closing.
Well, that's the one, you know, it's been down to 5 points, which is, you know, example of all the negative publicity he's gotten. That's the one thing that.
Although you got to wonder if people get their ballots, if they're just going to go ahead and vote straight Democrat. But we'll see on that.
Don't, then it'll be collected and thrown out in the garbage. I mean, they cheat so much that there's no cheating.
Well, yeah. And again, for folks listening, you got to be careful because you see the Secretary of State and they talk about the security of the system. We're not talking about what happens to the ballots for the most part after you drop them off in the drop box, right? What we're talking about is all of the shenanigans that go on before they get to that drop box. And now what they're doing with these lawsuits and saying, well, we can keep counting the ballots weeks and weeks after the time is closed. It'd be like saying you could watch a horse race and the betting window is going to extend way after the horse race is over, right? And you can just keep adjusting your bets until you win. I mean, which is exactly what they're trying to do. And so don't be fooled when they say, well, there's no voter fraud. Number one, there is, that does exist. Number two, it's all the stuff beforehand. And
Colorado, you may have noticed that the Democrats have been saying that Trump will not leave after
right.
that, which means what they think is if we
he's going to win.
If after the election they'll rig it and declare victory and Trump won't get out.
Right. Well, because they will have cheated.
Yes,
right?
That's what they are. They lie, they cheat, they steal, criminals.
It'll be January 14th, right? And they'll still be like counting ballots. And they say, Biden wins the Electoral College by one.
The Al Franken type election.
That's right. That's right. And what Sandra Sanders saying, and who in the hell really trusts the postal system? There's that.
Yeah,
there's that. I mean, even the postal system says if you have something important to mail, don't mail it to the postal system, right? So, hey, we can go ahead and maybe we can get a hold of George Anthonisopoulos here in a second, but do you want to talk about Synergenics?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Synergenics is a way to control and augment your aging process so you feel as best you possibly can. You're as healthy as best you can. And to do that, you can't just rely on yourself. Synergenics does that. It reverses your biological age. You do a complete examination. You have a complete probe that'll make you feel 10 years younger. It really will. I'm on the diet now, and I'm down to 264.
Yeah.
So hopefully keep on.
And I'm doing it my way. I haven't lost anything. Without Julie McCallum's help, my net loss is zero.
And so just call for a free consultation and just find out what it's all about and what Synergetics can do for you. The number is 720-387-3681 or Synergenics, CENEGENICS.
Synergenics.com. Hey, and Thomas, yeah, you can go ahead and call George for us now. One of the other things I wanted to talk about briefly until we get him, there is some good news. So you see in Denver, the district attorney, this is why local elections matter. Beth McCann lets rioters and protesters go, right? Mm-hmm. But in George Brockler's district, and I'll give him credit, Dave Young, up there in Adams County, they're charging five of the people who they believe have been the organizers between the riots that we've seen in the Aurora area over the Elijah McClain death.
Right.
They're charging them several felony charges. Things like when they surrounded the police department and they wouldn't let the cops in or out, right? Mm. When they closed down the roads, when they were stealing counter-protester signs, all of that. So I'm glad to see that. This is, again, why in Beth McCann's world, those people wouldn't even be arrested, number one, in Denver. And in Denver, if you're the pro law enforcement people, then they leave you to the wolves. I mean, they just support the Antifa people. But I think that is good news. And I think that's a kind of thing that we need to be doing to fight back hard on those kind of things too, right? To go ahead and say, okay, fine. You want to be an organizer, an Antifa person, we're going to arrest you. And I think too, you know, you listen to AG Barr, some discussion, maybe not from him, but about using the RICO Act and things like that. And then you got stupid Director Ray saying, oh no, Antifa is just an ideology. I'm sorry, Donald Trump, you got rid of Comey right away. I know you probably can't do it now, but boom, when you get reelected next day, get rid of Ray. He's just a swamp creature. So you've got the AG saying we're going to prosecute these people and the head of the FBI going, oh, it's an ideology. It's real, but it's just an ideology.
It's exactly. All right. Well, we've got the A-man on line three. We put out the bat signal and so we've got him. A-man, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. We're really good. George has kids, so you can relate to this. So my son's school put out the news that not next week, but the week after, they're going basically to full-time school. I'm like, thank you, God.
There is a God.
Yeah. Rev is like, well, when will I play Fortnite? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that 24/7. You have to take a couple hours off of school. It's just amazing stuff. Well, we want to talk to you. We talked to Patrick Neville about, you know, the state of the Republican Party in Colorado and what it would take to resuscitate it over the longer term. And what really brought it to this point is we have the chairman for 8 years, Ryan Call, announcing he is supporting Joe Biden. And then we had Cole West, who was the number two in the House.
Republican,
announcing he's voting for Biden. And you kind of go, how come the Republican Party is acting so crazy?
How can we be such losers that our former leaders are now endorsing the most progressive Democrat candidate in history, right? But meanwhile, the rest of us are too conservative for Colorado.
It is absolutely disgraceful. Let's just not mince words. Yeah. If you are a former Republican leader and because you think Trump mean, and therefore you're going to go out and endorse Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, really Kamala Harris, let's be frank, you are a disgrace. That is absolutely disgraceful. There should be, they should never even think of running for political office as Republicans again. If you endorse,
well, they'll get all kinds of funding. They'll dominate.
Well, Catherine Murdoch,
she'll give them all kinds of money.
Millions of people will give them money.
She gave all the money to Weld County Republicans.
Not fake Republicans.
Fake ones. South Jeffco. I mean, they're just pouring the money in for rhinos, and it's. But the, what going back is that there's been a steady effort by those rhinos, along with the Democrats, to destroy any conservative party and just make it Democrat and Democrat light. And I know you've got one of those their ones, which was campaign finance.
Yes. Well, so there are a couple things that I wanted to talk about today. The first of which, and Chuck, you may want to keep your seats because this race in Colorado is going to be closer than we anticipated.
I think so.
It's significantly closer. I mean, we were talking a year ago that, you know, Corey would lose by 12 points, but I think it's going to be a really tight race. And I say that not because, you know, I feel it in my bones or I have some sort of Cajun, you know, witchcraft that I'm depending on. But if you look at the Democrats and you look at how they're spending their money, it is not the Jared Polis machine that is working elect John Hickenlooper. It is night and day a different campaign than what the Democrats had in 2018. Part of that you can attribute to COVID. So there's not as much opportunity for face-to-face interactions. But if you look at the people and the committees who are involved in getting John Hickenlooper elected, it is not the Jared Polis A team. It is the John Hickenlooper, some other letter team, and they are not doing what they need to do. What has gotten them the success in Colorado in the past, they are not doing it this time. I don't
know. Well, 2018 was an unusual year because Governor Polis, the first gay candidate, the lots of the organization around the state was based a lot on that, and they got a lot of enthusiastic people to come in and go door to door. But Biden has been hiding in the basement and across the country. He has very little grassroots, very little, which is in part why they want to do mail-in ballot and ballot harvesting, because they just won't come out. But you're right. I mean, the ground game for the Democratic Party across the country has disappeared on the excuse of COVID.
Where Trump has geared it up.
And he's geared it up, and more over here in Colorado, which is unusual.
No, and here's the thing. Jared Polis donated to his own campaign $23 million. Hickenlooper has nowhere near that amount of money. And even though Corey is spending his money on television commercials and digital ad buys and all that stuff that is not nearly as effective as that face-to-face interaction, the Democrats aren't doing it. The Democrats, I don't know if they're assuming, oh, Colorado's in the bag, or look at 2018, we don't have to do anything, we can just enjoy those same results. It is going to be much closer. I'm not saying that Corey's going to win, but it is not going to be the stomping that we saw last cycle repeated.
Let me have it get kind of drilled down and get specific. So what you're saying is, so you're looking at, because George is great, is a great Republican strategist at looking how they spend money and where they're spending money. So can you kind of get specific there in terms of, you know, the differences you see between what Polis did and what Hickenlooper is doing?
Polis started opening offices very early, almost a year ahead of Election Day. He had, you know, hundreds of paid staff. He had thousands of volunteers. You had organizations that supported his effort that weren't directly tied to his campaign. So Conservation Colorado is a great example. Right. And they built that ground game for the Democrats, for every Democrat. That's why you saw terrible candidates like Jenna Griswold and Phil White win. It's because they rode coattails, because Jared Polis built a machine that you could have plugged in Elmo the Muppet as a statewide candidate running as a Democrat, and they likely would have won based on the strength of the machine that Jared Polis built.
Okay.
That machine is not running this cycle. Corey's got a chance.
Why is that not running? I mean, did Polis, is he just being hoarding it? Or did Hickenlooper say, no, I got this? Or what do you think happened there?
I don't know. I'd be fascinated. That's a question for Ted Trimpa.
Well, I can make some, I think, educated guesses. One, there isn't the enthusiasm that the governor managed to generate among his supporters. Two, the whole Democratic Party has been COVID. Oh, we're terrified. You got to stay at home. Anybody knocks on their door, you know, that's a death calling to you. So for all those reasons, they don't have the machine, and nationally they don't. They're just hoping mail-in ballots can save their lives. But I think that's a bad assumption by everything, any election I've ever seen. If you get people going door to door and convincing people, finding out where they stand, if they're going to vote and everything else, that's the gold standard. And it's not here. And I agree with you. The last poll had Hickenlooper had only by 5, and that's maybe half, more than half, from time before. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be close. And if we had a decent Republican Party, it'd be really close.
Well, so what Corey's doing, again, he could be doing much better with his money, but his commercials about, you know, John Hickenlooper being corrupt and robbing banks and whatever else he's done,
right,
those are great. A ground game would be better, but in terms of messaging, I think Republicans probably need to get off the mask issue because that doesn't really resonate with most voters as being that intrusive. What resonates based on anecdotal conversations that I have, if you're a Republican, you need to talk about 3 things. I'm going to do everything I can to open up the schools, get them back to regular school that we all know and love, schools.
Right.
Next, I'm going to open up businesses. I will open up businesses so people can make a living, so that small business owners don't go bankrupt, so that we can return to normal. And finally, law and order. We are the party that will protect you. Those 3 things.
That's brilliant. Let me say, just as an anecdotal thing, George, it's interesting. One of the reasons the school that our son goes to said that they were going to go back to full time, they said the results, they pretty regularly send home parent surveys to parents to say, what do you want? They said 80% of the parents consistently since May have said, we want school full time. We want school full time. Now, that's got to be a pretty random sample, I would guess. And these are, like you said, these aren't people answering a political survey. These are people saying, do you want your school open or not? 80% have said, yes, we want the school open. That's 80% of the people who aren't fearful of their kid keeling over. And I got to assume if 80% of the people want their kids in school, 80% of the people, just like you said, want businesses open. They want restaurants open. And I'm going to bet 80% of the people would just as soon have the police protect them rather than protect the rioters. So
I guarantee that Cory Gardner is not going to change his campaign 1 iota.
Well, that's pretend.
Well, that's who he is.
George is right, though.
Yeah, I agree with George. I mean, it'd be great if Gardner said, I want your kids back in school. I'll do whatever I can. I'll make sure they're safe and everything else. That'd be brilliant. But he's not going to change because he can't. It's just not his human nature.
He's not going to change, but again, it's the messaging is a small part of the campaign.
Yeah,
I look at the underlying expenditures because that tells you everything you need to know about a campaign. And I look at John Hickenlooper's campaign and all the organizations that support him, and it is not the Jared Polis varsity team.
No.
It is not.
What are they spending their money on? I mean, ads. He's got some. It's, pardon me, ads.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
What is Hickenlooper spending his money on?
Ads. I mean, he's got some people. It's mostly ads. It's, you know, you've got these other organizations, you know, the Senate Majority and the Giffords PAC and Let's Turn Colorado Blue, or excuse me, some of these other committees. That was more primary committee. But you have these committees, and they're not Jared Polis. They're not Conservation Colorado. They're not the A-team. These are people who believe in commercials and digital advertising and mailers, and
they get their money.
You know, when you have that and you don't do the voter ID, you don't do the hard work knocking on doors, you don't do the ballot you don't lay the groundwork to do ballot harvesting,
right?
Which is, let's be honest, the only reason that Colorado has turned blue is that that machine they have built over years and years and years, and it is very, very good.
Right.
What will benefit Corey is, at least on the surface and, you know, a little digging, I don't see any evidence that it's running this cycle.
Well, and I would wonder this too. I was talking with somebody today who has a little bit of inside information, and they were saying what you've been saying, what we've been kind of saying all along, is that as far as the Trump campaign is concerned, Colorado isn't really one of the top tier states that they're going to compete in.
Or middle, yeah.
On the other hand, though, you don't get the sense that this is a big thing for Biden either, right? That you get the sense that the Democrats in Colorado are basically kind of trying to run out the clock. They figure they had enough of a lead that no matter what happens, they can't lose it too much. I mean, do you see that going on, do you think?
Yeah, they're mailing it in. They're mailing it in. They assume that, oh, hey, we stomped the Republicans in 2018 by double-digit percentages. That'll just happen again because. And like I said, I'd be very interested to know what Ted thinks about
this. We'll have to get him on to see.
Yeah. So here's the other thing I wanted to talk about today. So we're all focused on 2020, and for good reason. But. Let's do something that Republicans in Colorado never do, which is plan ahead.
Oh, no.
Please.
This is going to be strange. I know this is going to be strange for your listeners, but let's actually think further than the end of our nose and think about 2022. We're going to have, you know, the statewide offices up again. We're going to have another, you know, congressional seat, you know, after the census, you know.
That's a new seat.
That's a federal race, but let's focus on the in-state. We have the four statewide offices that are going to be up. We have, you know, the House, and then, you know, what are we doing to lay the groundwork to be competitive? Because last cycle, Jared Polis, again, $23 million.
Yeah.
Are there any billionaires who are going to run for governor of Colorado? I mean,
no. Here's my thing.
Well, what the best and the brightest in the Republican Party are doing is they're
becoming Democrats.
They're urging everybody to vote for Biden. That's how we're looking ahead for the 2022.
Well, no, you go to, I started the show out, George, talking about a very passionate text that Chris Doty, who's a listener and he's pretty active in politics, sent. And he's like, the Democrats are engaging in guerrilla warfare, and we need to also. He says, we need to be planning. We can't just be reactive. We can't just be saying things like, we don't want to wear masks anymore. He said, we need to be doing exactly what you said, looking ahead and seeing where are opportunities, and just like the Democrats did, right? Find those little pockets of opportunity and seize them.
Yeah, well, here, the best thing the state party can do right now, the Colorado Republican Party can do right now, is file a lawsuit. Randy Corcoran, attorney, great guy. He is the Republican National Committeeman. He can file a lawsuit to get Amendment 27 repealed in Colorado. That sets the campaign finance limits here in the state. And this is something that's already been found to be unconstitutional, but it wasn't repealed.
Well, so explain, what does it do and why do we need to get rid of it?
Because that sets the campaign finance limits on the in-state candidate. So if you want to run against a Governor Polis, and you can raise, you know, $1,000 or whatever from an individual donor, it's really hard to compete with $23 million that Jared Polis can dump into his own reelection campaign, if not more.
Right.
So unless you were a billionaire or you are willing to spend, you have $23 million in discretionary cash just laying around, we have to get rid of this. We need to file it now. The Colorado Republican Party would have standing. Chuck, correct me if I'm wrong, but this amendment is unconstitutional and does real harm to us, because as Republicans, we cannot compete fairly with Democrats when they are allowed to donate that amount of money to their own campaigns, and we're limited to, you know, the change you find between couch cushions from individual donors.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't totally agree with that, because there's so much. If I've got $10 million, I can get it into any campaign I want to through nonprofits, education committees, and everything else. But it is a clearly unconstitutional rule.
It's a start.
It's a start. Then we can get rid of ballot harvesting and other things.
It is a much better argument to say, hey, I'm the candidate, give me the money, I'm going to do these things, as opposed to, I am a wealthy person, I want Republicans to win, I'm going to go through all the effort to find a soft money committee, you know,
right,
an independent expenditure committee, something or other. You have to be very politically savvy.
Right.
You get rid of 27, you don't have to be politically savvy. The candidates can straight ask you, hey, write me a huge check, I'm going to do great things with it.
Right. Well, and as you said, it also, it becomes difficult. I remember back when George Brockler was talking about running for governor, right? And he flat out said, how do I compete with George Polis? I mean, if Jared Polis, if we were to get rid of this, it would also, like you said, Jared Polis would have to be kind of slimy about it to get money,
which he would do.
But I mean, it would he couldn't just write himself a $23 million check, right?
I'd like to see him, since they're in the suing mood, to sue for the clearly unconstitutional quote-unquote open primary law, which requires two-thirds of a central committee. I mean, that one's at least on surface incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, it allows the Democrats to play even more.
Yeah, well, of course, that's what they do.
But first things first, we have to file now, because it's not like we're going to get a verdict from the court tomorrow if we file today. This is something we have to put in motion now, so that by the end of 2021, we have a judgment which will be in our favor. And then that way, the people who are competing for these statewide offices at least have a chance.
I wouldn't be, if you're expecting a lawsuit to drop, I wouldn't hold your breath, because they failed to do any type of thing.
I know. Patrick Neville and those guys have. Let me switch gears a little bit too here, George, because I know you were the one who said, you know, Lauren Boebert is going to win in that congression, just CD5, right? And boom, she did. Any sense on anything you can tell us about how that campaign is going? I know they're attacking her a lot, so they must be, and they keep releasing, I think, fake polls that show.
Not fake, but the Democratic polls.
Well, the Democrat, where they interview all these Democrats and ask them who they're going to vote for, then they say 90%, yeah.
No, that's even, so
any sense
that means
how
she must be ahead.
Yeah, any sense how that's going?
If she does what she did in the primary, she will win the general election. Knock on doors, talk to voters, you know, collect ballots, make phone calls, make sure your people vote, get the independents to vote for you. She'll be just fine.
Okay.
It's not one of those races that, I mean, everybody wants it to be competitive. All the Democrats are releasing, you know, they poll, you know, all the people who work at, you know, Conservation Colorado, they're like, who do you like? Oh, we like Diana Mitch Bush. Well, yeah, duh. So they're going to release these polls that are paid for by Democrats and support the Democrat, I mean, shockingly, and they're going to try and build momentum. But, I mean, the Republican has an advantage in that district. Lauren is very charismatic. She works incredibly, incredibly hard. So as long as she just continues to do what she's been doing and approaches the general election like she did the primary, she'll be just fine. She will be on her way to Washington, D.C.
Yay, because she's one of the good ones. Well, let me go, just a couple more questions for you on this Friday. One of the things for me, and Chuck is always like, I might have more questions. Okay. We were talking a little bit about this with Patrick and right before we brought you on, I am beginning to be really worried about what I believe to be the Democrat strategy, essentially to completely disenfranchise voters, to say, look, you know, we already saw what happened if we leave the presidential election up to voters. So we're just not going to do that this year. We're going to rig the votes, or we're going to file lawsuits. I mean, I'm beginning to really worry that is their, you know, no Russia hoax this time around. But what they're going to do is they're just going to challenge the results of the election if they don't win, and do everything they can. And I see that. I remember back when this whole COVID thing started, a former colleague at KNUS, he's still there, we're not, Matt Dunn said, you know, I worry about insurrection in the streets, and look what happened. And you hear the Democrats talking about that now. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
It is I want to chalk it up to hyperbole, but we've seen quite a lot of evidence that suggests that they will do anything they can to prevent a second Trump term. And if it looks like it's going to happen, you will see a lot of crazy people do a lot of crazy things. It's some of the things you see about shooting police officers and the riots in the streets and destroying property, I think that'll probably get worse. I think my more immediate concern would be the legal challenges, the results not released until, you know, November 7th, let's say in the state of Pennsylvania, or the, you know, the mail-in challenges, the legal fights. I think that's more of a concern, and as Republicans, we should be prepared. And frankly, I think it would be negligent of even Corey's campaign to not think of stuff like that. The Trump campaign here in Colorado, not to think of stuff like that. Like, you have to be prepared. How are you, what is your plan to cure ballots if it is close?
Right. I think you're absolutely right. Now, you know, and the Trump people I trust, but the Cory Gardner people, because I know I was reading a thing where, like, there are already literally hundreds of lawsuits have been filed all around the country in individual states already setting up challenges to election laws, right? So that they can tie up the results if they don't go their own way. And I think you're right. Hopefully, I get the impression that Trump is well aware of it and then his people are. You know, it's hard to tell what Cory Gardner's thinking, I think.
Who knows what Cory's thinking?
It's, again, he and his campaign need to be thinking about this. And I'm telling you, it's going to be different than 2018. It's going to be a lot closer.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish he had spent his money well. Based on the last finance report, he's sitting on $10 million. Start hiring every Republican you can that needs part-time work. Those ballots go out 3 weeks before Election Day. You need every single one of them. Like, we, because we're an all-mail ballot state, we have unusually high turnout, but you've got to make sure that every Cory vote or potential Cory vote gets in. Same with the Trump campaign.
Well, they don't know what every Republican. That's the problem.
They haven't done the homework.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like one-third of the people in this precinct are independents. Do I have a list? Is it a committee person, which one of those are Republicans or Republican leading or Trump leading? No. So you can say I ought to get everyone out, but if they don't ever, since nothing's been done to determine which ones are Trump supporters.
I totally concede. They haven't done the work. They haven't done the voter ID work that we've been talking about
for 4 years.
They haven't done that. So they're going to have to rely really on just brute force to try and find who these, basically identify voters while trying to harvest ballots.
Yeah.
And if they had been smart, they wouldn't be in this position. Unfortunately, they're not smart, and so they are. But based on everything that I've seen, they got a chance. And that's not something I would have said 3 months ago or at any time before now. But now, based on, you know, Hickenlooper's campaign, the way they're spending money, the way the outside groups are spending money, the way trends are moving nationally, the issues of the day.
Right.
Everything's breaking for Republicans, and come on, like,
that's right, the wave. That's right. No, that's not. Right. We don't have to stand on the beach.
That they're smart for 50 some days.
Really. We can wear, well, you're right. No, we need to start planning ahead for 2022. And I think, you know, again, you know, I think people keep saying, you know, when do you think the mask mandate's going to go away? When is this going to happen? I'm like, at the election, you know, it'll go away after, you know, depending on what's happening there. So,
yeah, it's going to be an incredible, I don't know who is going to happen next 30 days plus with our rolling elections and our rolling results 14 days afterward and our crooked courts. But it's going to be, it'll be interesting times.
It'll be
interesting times.
Hey. Yeah,
what is the curse that?
You may you live in interesting times. It's a Chinese curse.
Live in interesting times.
All right,
George, it's great to have you on as always, and we appreciate your astuteness
and from your lips to God's ears and back to the Republican Party's ears too.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, George Anthonisopoulos. There. you know, I'm beginning to be more worried about that because
with good reason.
Exactly. You know, you've got coronavirus to worry about. You've got all this other stuff. But I think, you know, again, the Democrats play on all these fronts. I think, you know, what does they say? It's like, you know, you should, when you're dating somebody, it's like they show you who they are the first time, right? Why do you keep thinking they're going to change? Yeah, right. And it's like, why do we think, like Georgia, you tend to think, no, they would not really.
No.
And then you're like, no, there's a reason that they're planning all of this stuff about Trump won't leave the White House. There's a reason why they're filing all these lawsuits saying, you know, we need to keep counting the ballots long after the deadline, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're like, well, if it's postmarked on November 2nd, you know, then we have to keep counting 2 weeks later. What on earth? I mean, are the Pony Express is what they're counting on? No, the only reason they're doing that is to cheat. There's no way it takes it 2 weeks.
In the courts, Michigan and in Pennsylvania, which apparently have more Democrats than Republicans. Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think the other thing that they're doing is they're trying to scare people a little bit and saying, hey, you want a riot? Then you go ahead and you vote for Donald Trump. You don't want to. And I also don't think, though, that the Democrats can put that
interesting thing is away. That, is that they've scared enough Democrats who
right.
are saying, you know, in voting in person is dangerous. And now they're going, wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. If they haven't voted by the time they got, wait a right. minute, they could. It could be scared to go and vote at all, which is why they need the other 14 days to.
Right.
It's just awful.
Leo is saying, Corey needs to send out campaign postcards with clothespins attached so I can put one on my nose when I vote for him. And then, because here's what the Democrats do, then you can use a clothespin to put the ballot on your door so that the ballot harvesters, right, in a good way, in a legal way, can come grab it, right? Although the Democrats will come take it away.
Yeah. Well, who knows? It's going to be fun, and you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Every weekend now, it's getting closer and closer. The ballots go out in a week and a half or something here in Colorado, so it's election time. Normally, it'd be campaign time, but now it's voting time. Pretty darn.
Well, yeah, I think the ballots go out in Colorado the 3rd.
Yeah.
So it's coming close. One of the other things we're going to do, guys, and we'll let you know when, is going to go through all the ballot initiatives.
Yeah.
And there's like a million, not a million, but there are a lot of them. And
if you just read them, some of them are intentionally
like the Gallagher, they Gallagher cheat.
Yeah,
exactly. So we'll kind of go about that and take questions and try to get some other
and
folks
we'll
on there.
We'll post our thing on our website. So. You didn't memorize
all of them. Well, I'm the minion.
The help will.
You're our assistant. That would
our
be
assistant.
Me. I'll do that.
Our beloved assistant. All right. Well, that's it for today. And enjoy this last weekend of starting. I think the last full weekend of summer.
And let me remind folks, if you have missed a podcast, you can always go to the BBS Radio website. If you want to get just the podcast, the audio, you can do that. But I also encourage you to go to chuckandjulie.com. You can listen to all of the podcasts there. It'll take you to YouTube. And please, we'd love to have you subscribe so our son can look at it and say, how many subs do you have? And I'm like, I didn't even know what he meant. He's like, subscribers. So also, and thank you to Patrick, and thank you to George. And this is Sandra. She said, absolutely voted today is November 3rd. That should be the end, period. All votes received without a post date should not be counted. I agree with her. And thank
well,
you.
They shouldn't be counted unless they arrive. The way it is in Colorado, they have to arrive by 7 o'clock on Tuesday. But the Democrats, being the shifty, unlawful, illegal people they are,
they're going to have all these stamps that say November 3rd, November 3rd. But anyway, please check out, follow us on Twitter at ChuckandJulie1. Check out the website, chuckandjulie.com.
And we'll see you next Monday. Take care.